we're about to spoil the movie you were never really here. If you haven't seen the movie and you plan on watching it, leave now and come back later. But if you have seen it, or you just don't care, then please, stick around.
Hello, everybody. So this is where we would usually put the opening joke to the movie that we watched. Unfortunately, this is another situation, which happens to be by the same director, where we feel we can't really joke about it.
Yeah, this would be in very poor taste to make jokes about with all the subject matter. So here's rather a trigger warning for the episode.
Yes. So if any of the above is too much for you to handle, then click away now.
Yes. There will be talks of pedophilia, of some sexual assault, general child abuse, war trauma, dead kids in general as well.
Yep.
There's a lot of heavy stuff in this movie, dealing with trauma in general. If any of that is too much for you, we completely understand and hope you have a good day.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'll do the intro thing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cinema Roulette.
You don't sound as excited as usual.
Oh, gee, I wonder why. I'm trying not to be too happy-go-lucky, like, hi, everybody! Here's this fucking movie.
It just reminds... I always think of this whenever this type of situation happens, of when I was trying to do the scene of Black Swan, where I was so happy of my actors, like, getting the scene down, but then it's like... I am cheering on a scene where someone is horribly uncomfortable and is basically being gaslit.
Yeah. Yeah. It did turn out good. I really liked it.
Yeah, that scene turned out good. Yeah. I still need to watch Black Swan.
Same.
It's on Prime. But
is it?
Yeah.
For free?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Well, not free. You need to buy Prime.
Well, I already have Prime.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyone else would need. Okay. Yeah. But if you have Prime, it is free.
Well, we don't know that when this episode comes out.
True.
Padding is fun.
Padding is fun. Yes, so this was Lynn Ramsey,
yep,
right?
We're another back movie. With Lynn Ramsey.
Back with Lynn Ramsey, always the bearer of heavy subjects, Jesus Christ. Same director of We Need to Talk About Kevin, which you can also listen to if you want on podcasting apps.
If you can handle it.
If you can handle it. It's another one that's very similar to this movie, which is starring Joaquin Phoenix. You Were Never Really Here. Yeah, so, good times all around with this one.
Yeah.
Shit.
This is a bit.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit much, but still a really good, really solid thriller. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, honestly. For 90 minutes, it uses its time perfectly.
Oh, yeah, I think less than that. Isn't it like 80-some?
It's 89.
89. So. Oh, okay, I thought it was like 87 or something, but yeah, it's... uses its time really well, and Jesus Christ, is it hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, so let's do a summary, which is luckily a lot easier than We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Because
it is told in order, at least.
Yeah, it's told in order, so.
Okay, so we open up with Joe. We don't know his name's Joe yet, but he's in a hotel room cleaning up. Washing off a hammer, which has chunks on it. Cleaning up his clothes in general, just making the place neat and tidy.
Yep.
He leaves the room as someone else enters. He was going to leave out the front door, but cops are there, so he leaves out the back, eats up a dude, tries to mug him, and calls up on the phone and says, it's done. Then he goes on home, and we see his old mother, who clearly has some mental deterioration from age.
Either dementia or Parkinson's or something.
Yeah, something along those lines.
But I don't think it's Parkinson's. What's the other one?
Alzheimer's?
Yeah, Alzheimer's.
Yep. We see Joe taking care of his mother. He then goes to a guy for payment of the job he did, whose name is Angel. But Angel's son apparently saw him do the job, so he wants to cut ties with Angel.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause this isn't I guess this is a fun fact for later, but this movie is based on a book, and the reason for the title of You Were Never Really Here is because he cleans up so well after he's done, leaving no evidence. We also get hints that, well, we see quick flashes that Joe had an abusive father. We then see him meet with McCleary, who is kind of the person who finds jobs for him.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out a senator has a missing daughter. Joe goes and meets with the senator. He explains that the daughter has been most likely dragged into a child prostitute ring. And Joe basically gives the information. It's like, okay, go to this hotel at 3 a.m. I will have her there. We see some war flashbacks. The daughter's name is Nina. He goes and saves Nina. Goes to the meat spa of a hotel room. But Nina turns on TV just to, you know, calm down after everything. And turns out the senator was killed.
Yep.
There's a knock at the door.
Her father is dead now.
Yeah, her father's dead. That complicates things. Open the door. Whoever knocked on the door, shot in the back of the head. Some crooked cops come in, take Nina, and try to kill Joe, but Joe gets the upper hand. So everything's already gone to hell pretty fast. McCleary isn't picking up his phone at all. Turns out McCleary also got killed, which then Joe finds out his mother was also killed. But the assassins are still in the house.
Yeah, they're pretty much getting rid of anyone even just associated with this job.
Yeah.
So, yeah. His friend's dead, his mother's dead, and yeah.
Oh, even Angel was killed.
Yep, Angel was killed, and now there's two hitmen in his house.
Which quickly changes to one.
Yeah, which he very quickly disposes of, but the one's just basically, like, he mortally wounds the other one. He dies pretty much instantly, but the other one's just writhing on the ground, crawling over to Joaquin Phoenix and all that.
Yeah, he interrogates the guy and basically finds out the senator wanted out, and that a Governor Williams is the one that took the daughter. Like, there's a whole government conspiracy that holds. There's
a really creepy line saying she was his favorite or something. Just hate it.
But first, Joe buries his mother.
And they honestly really gorgeously shot sequence.
Oh, yeah, wonderful scene. He goes to William's house prepared to take revenge and get Nina back. But by the time he reaches the bedroom, he's dead. Nina was able to grab a razor at some point and slit his throat.
Yep. So she killed him before he got the chance.
After a bit of a breakdown, he goes downstairs and finds Nina and two go off to a diner deciding on what to do next. They say that they're going to get out of there and the movie ends.
You're not going to mention the whole...
No, we can mention that in a sec.
Okay.
I just mentioned what happened plot-wise, technically all right. Speaking.
All right.
And then that is You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah.
Okay, where the fuck to start?
Jesus. Should we save the facts for later or do that now?
I think the quickest thing would be any negatives, if you have.
Because there honestly aren't many. Like,
I think the only problem is Joaquin Phoenix kind of mumbling his lines, but you can turn on subtitles.
Yeah, I was going to say, we definitely recommend turning on subtitles because not only does he have like a heavy southern accent, he also like slurs a lot of his lines. It was really hard to understand him at times.
But also, I get it, his character's supposed to be this just very tired, exhausted person.
Yes. Do want to say, too, I guess we'll... Any or negatives? Or I think that's about it, huh?
That's about it.
It's a very, very solid movie otherwise. Joaquin Phoenix gives a fantastic fucking performance in this movie. Like, my God. As usual. He commits 110% to the role.
So far, every movie I've seen him in, he's done a good job. Yeah. So.
Here he has just a really long beard, really long, decrepit hair, and he looks like shit throughout most of the movie.
Yeah. He looks tired.
Yeah, he does a great job, and everyone else does a great job. The actress for his mom really captured that whole crazy old lady type thing. Like, it isn't confirmed, but she probably went and studied like dementia patients and stuff like that, just knowing like shit like that. So, and just on a slight personal note, that those are sometimes hard to watch for me because my grandmother on my mom's side did suffer from dementia.
Yeah.
And shit like that did just happen where they didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't know how to do that. Like there were times when my grandma like wouldn't even wash her clothes. She'd be like dirty. She wouldn't even realize we had to move her to an assisted living home and all that.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's rough. That's no joke living with that. So just the movie in general is just all about fucking trauma. Like he has the trauma from his taking care of his mom, trauma from dad abuse, trauma from being exposed to all this shit and just going crazy on these motherfuckers. It's just
The horrors of war he witnessed.
Yeah, the horrors of war in a pretty fucking messed up backstory scene.
Yeah.
Like Jesus.
Yeah, because not only do we see like he saw a kid get killed just for candy,
mm-hmm.
but they also came across like a truck full of dead kids.
Yeah, this is a heavy, heavy fucking movie, but it's so brilliantly done acting wise and just from a technical standpoint. Like I think you said during the movie, it's like I wish Liam Ramsey get more work because she knows what she's doing.
Oh, she like, clearly understands.
She is just so good at her job. Like she's one that's basically known for tackling stupidly heavy subjects, and she does it with such. Like, she does it, like, not only really well, but with a sense of, I guess, class, too. Because the thing I really liked is they never actually showed kids being assaulted.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that movies some with this matter try to do to be shocking or whatever. But no, this one, it's very clear. You just have to mention it. That's all you have to do. Like,
that's what I will give massive credit for. I mentioned this after the movie. Any other director would have probably had 30 minutes, like, showing more of the war with Joe or showing the assaults and stuff to make us hate the bad guys. It's like, we don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need it. Like, child prostitution is enough. We don't need more reason than that. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
And Ramsey trusts the audience enough. Like, okay, here's the flash. It's about a minute long. You understand his past. Now, yes. We don't need to see him in the past saying they're being like, oh my God, I saw this. It's like, yeah, you saw fucked up shit. We understand.
Yeah, the amount of restraint and I guess just taste that she has to in directing these really hard to watch scenes is really well done.
Yeah.
So I do have to mention, too, one sequence that definitely stands out is the first assault sequence where you see it entirely from the view of the security cameras. That's just cool.
Yeah, when he first goes in to save Nina, it's all from the security cameras in the building.
Yeah, when he's going in, that's all you see, just the different angles, and it makes it kind of more brutal that way, honestly. It
does, because you're seeing it from a distance, and you kind of have to fill in gaps.
Yeah, but then when he's walking out of it, you actually see what he went through.
And I like that the gore isn't over the top.
Yeah.
Like, the only one that's over the top is McCleary's body, but that feels very much like it's supposed to be a message.
Yes, exactly. Like, there isn't a lot of actual, like, pounding. You do see more of the aftermath of the bodies and shit. So, but yeah, when it happens, it's fucking brutal. Especially that one headshot. Jesus, that caught us off guard.
Oh, yeah, that the hotel scene with Nia getting kidnapped again. Just 0 to 100 really fucking fast. Yeah,
like he answers the door and then it literally is just BAM! This happens.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. And he actually, Joaquin Phoenix, they didn't like really show much of it, but he ended up getting shot in the mouth. And I guess the bullet got lodged in his teeth or something.
I think it skimmed it or whatnot. Yeah.
But he was calling his friend, he's like, man, they pick up, they shot me in the fucking face or something.
Which isn't really a problem in the movie.
It isn't, but still, yeah. We were wondering, like, how would he not get... I don't know if you were wondering, but I was wondering, like, wasn't he facing him? Wouldn't he have gotten hit? He did, apparently.
I think when they were struggling, a bullet went off and, like, skid across his mouth.
Right, because, like, he went down and they showed the mirror getting hit by the bullets. Right.
Yeah, so the gun was still going off.
Yeah, but... Yeah, that's good, and just, oh my gosh. Yeah, and, like, the cinematography is so beautiful.
Oh, like, it looks great.
It does. Like, most of it takes place in the city. Like,
yeah, I think it's New York.
New York. Yeah, but it's so gorgeously shot. She's really good at shooting nighttime scenes, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, she like, seems to have a real understanding of how night looks, which is a weird thing to say.
It is, because it has, like, this bright neon vibe to it, but it's not, like, overwhelming, like you're in Vegas or something.
Yeah, it doesn't go so far that it feels sci-fi, but still enough to give, like, the coldness of night.
Yeah.
Also, just general feel, the tension in this movie is fucking on the entire time.
It is, like, it's really tense and big, but once that headshot scene happened, after that, I was on edge for practically the whole fucking movie. I was like, what's going to happen next? And I think you said too, it's like, I don't know what this film's atmosphere is, but I don't like it. Like, it's oppressive.
Yeah, it's just thick.
Because a lot of times there isn't much music. Like, when the music kicks in, it's more electronic, like kicking music. But there are a lot of long scenes of just him walking or going into a store where you just hear all the natural sounds and like people just ding-ding-ding, like random background noises. And it builds up tension so nicely.
And I do love that the music stays with his mental state because as things get worse, the music becomes more distorted as like when he's going through the hardware store gang tools. The music starts to distort as he's thinking more about the violence that he will have to inflict.
And fun fact about that, actually, with the music and all that, Joaquin Phoenix stated that Lynn Ramsey gave him an audio file of fireworks mixed with gunshots to suggest what's going on in Joe's head. So he listened to that and then...
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, I'll mention it after.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have to be in here.
Okay.
Just listen to Captain Christian of AUSAs. Those are great.
That's
Captain and Christian with a K.
Yes. Go check them out, definitely. And they're mostly really short, except for like one or two maybe. But
I don't think any go over 20 minutes. Yeah. So.
But there aren't that many videos, right?
Yeah.
Like, he has like maybe 30.
Yeah, you can binge those easy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where to go here.
But yeah, well, we were talking about the audio design, and that's just really
fucking
phenomenal.
Yeah, audio is fucking great.
So this was because in we need to talk about Kevin, Radiohead guitarist Johnny Greenwood scored that one. He also came back for this one to help out with the soundtrack.
Great.
So they kind of, great job. They have kind of a working relationship, Lynn Ramsey and him, which is awesome.
I don't think I know what Radiohead music sounds like.
Yeah.
Because when I hear Radiohead, I think of like a very generic 2000s band sound.
Yeah. No, they were kind of more like experimental prog rock is what
really?
They were. Yeah.
Huh. I always just assumed they were like some wannabe grunge band or something.
Yeah. They may have like started out that way. I think their first album was heavier, but I'm not super familiar with them, but I know they kind of progressed into like this prog rock type group.
Nice.
So... but yeah, if there's, just overall so well done. Should I read some fun facts?
Yeah,
so,
we can read some fun facts before talking about,
because there is quite a few, actually. So, and the one we were talking about, with him, killing the hitmans or whatever, there's a song playing on the radio the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I am glad we turned on subtitles. I guess that's another thing is because, the lyrics are kind of ironic and they do tie into the character's mental states, which is really cool to see.
Yeah. That's just a funny little detail.
But when we were watching it, the subtitles, instead of a music symbol, it glitched out and there was a hashtag every time it was supposed to be singing the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then when it like said music, it was just hashtag. Because this was originally based off a novel, as you said, and there are several differences there. In the novel, the main character Joe uses a lot of props like latex gloves and gadgets, but Lynn Ramsey stated it was Joaquin Phoenix who suggested to get rid of most of the props to keep the character more grounded, more authentic.
That's just cool.
It is. And most notably, though, the ending was completely changed and overhauled. And I also like the movie's ending better than the novel.
Yeah.
Because in the novel, Senator Votto does not die until the end, and Joe doesn't end up rescuing Nina. Rather, he confronts Votto at his mansion, where it's revealed he intentionally sold her into slavery so the mob would boost his political career. He then had his wife killed to keep the truth from getting out and covered it up to look like a suicide. His mission now turned into a personal vendetta. Joe kills Votto and then heads to Philadelphia, where Nina's been moved, and the novel ends on a cliffhanger.
And hasn't had a sequel since.
Nope. There was an expanded edition, quote unquote, released in 2018, but I don't know if that's just like adds another coda or if it actually just is just more scenes earlier in the book or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just a cool callback. Joe mentions Hotel Carib or Carab or something for the rendezvous to hand Nina back to her father. That's a throwback to another Joaquin Phoenix movie called We Own the Night. That was the name of the nightclub that Joaquin Phoenix's character managed.
Nice.
Yeah. And the movie was actually submitted to Cannes, and I think won Best Screenplay for Ramsey and Best Actor for Joaquin Phoenix.
Which, well, fucking deserved.
Oh, yeah, they both do such a good fucking job. But it was it received a 7-minute standing ovation at the premiere in 2017. So... it was technically submitted in an unfinished state. She said that Lynn Ramsey said the version shown in Cannes was like technically unfinished, like it was mostly complete, but there were other unfinished things about it. She actually completed it only a few days before the first public screening.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Cut it close.
Yep. But yeah, those are some fun facts there. So yeah, definitely well deserved. And it was originally supposed to be by A24 Films, mm-hmm. which I can definitely see.
Yeah, there's some shots that feel super A24.
Yes. But ultimately, Amazon bought the U.S. rights for distribution. So it's a Prime original here in the States.
Yeah, because I think this was around the time when Netflix and the few streaming services there were at film festivals trying to buy whatever they could get.
Yep. So, and they saw this one was a strong contender for the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and they were like, oh, all right, take that one.
Now, even though it is fun to make fun of billionaire Jeff Bezos,
yep,
I will give Amazon this as credit. With all their original movies, they usually let have a run in theaters.
Yes.
That's just nice of them.
That's really nice. And also, honestly, their series are pretty good. Like,
yeah, from what I've seen, they're good. Anyway, want to talk about suicide for a bit?
Jesus, sure. Yeah, we didn't mention a little scene at the ending.
There's a little bit of a fake out, or, well, it depends on how you want to take it. Eye of Beholder and all that. But in the diner, while Nina and Joe are discussing, like, what to do next, Nina gets up to go to the bathroom or just elsewhere, and Joe sits there for a moment before shooting himself in the head.
Yeah, just straight up pulls up a gun, shoots himself in the head, goes down on the table, dies, and no one around him is paying attention. No one cares. Like, the waitress brings his check kind of haphazardly, places it there, pool of blood covers it, and then walks away.
And she's still smiling with blood on her.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie before this, the quick flashes to his childhood is him, like, choking himself with a
plastic bag.
Yeah, like a dress bag you put on a hanger.
Yeah, like if you go to the dry cleaners and you get like that plastic bag back, that's what that is. And apparently, like, that was what his dad did when he was young. Like, and he was just this very abusive, very overbearing, very toxic masculinity. Like, stand up straight, only pussy slouch and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty fucking hard to watch. Like,
but yeah, that ending kind of leaves it, depending on how you look at it, it could leave the movie up in the air as if Joe did just kill himself there in the movie, and whatever happens after is a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also take that as, because we kept flashing to him killing himself throughout the movie, that was him finally, like, snapping and seeing a full vision of it before waking back up.
Yep.
I honestly would have... I still love the movie. It doesn't take it down at all. But if it ended on that note of him shooting himself and no one caring...
I would have given the movie massive props for having the balls to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just haunting. Like, the ending's already very interesting, very well done, and it ties into the original title of A Beautiful Day.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, as it is, like, if it would have just ended with his dead body credits roll, that would have been like, Jesus.
I mean, dead body there, too, would have also worked with the title of You Were Never Really Here, because no one noticed.
True, true. And I think that came along from, like, a military term, like, in covert ops and stuff, they cover their face, and, like, I think in the novel, too, like, he uses gloves, so he doesn't leave fingerprints, and he covers his face, a.k.a. so he was never really there.
Some people also... I was looking into how people interpret the ending. Another interpretation of the title is Joe and his own self-worth. Feeling like he didn't even have to be there. Because technically Nina saves herself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's able to actually get out of the situation herself. So
yeah, so it's a sort of inner fight with himself on if he is at all needed.
Yeah.
I also love the moment where he realizes Williams is dead.
Yeah, like, he just breaks down.
He breaks down because that was all he wanted at that point, was revenge, and he can't have it.
Yeah, it's too late. Someone beat him to it.
Or you can take it as him snapping because, like, he thought he was needed to save someone, and he couldn't even do that. They had to do it themselves.
Yep.
That is kind of the great thing about this movie, is you can read it so many ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
Without feeling like it's... I forget which movie we covered where it was like... there was a way to take it, and it just didn't feel right to go that way.
I forget, too.
Oh, wait, was that for Movie Bomb?
Are you sure it was this one?
Well, I know we've covered a movie in the past where it was like there were ways to read it, and it was like, oh, wait, that way could be odd.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it feels like it will always be focused on how bad abuse can be and the psychological effects of such a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it just really has its tone down. It has its themes down.
Yes, it does. And it does it in a really good, really well-paced manner.
Yeah.
So.
Lynn Ramsey knows what the hell she's doing, and it's great.
She does. She definitely needs more work, and I am, like, I'm excited, but also just scared to watch the rest of them just because of how heavy her movies are. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And didn't she only make four? Are we thinking of Marjan? Or were there five, and we decide off one?
You flipped the two.
Did I flip the two?
Yeah. Okay. Ramsey only has four feature-length films that I know of.
Okay, cool. So that was convenient because we were looking for four, and she has four, so there you go.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, we already covered suicide, spoilers, and child sex trade. How much worse could it get?
So yes, definitely recommended. Just be warned, heavy fucking content.
Yeah, heavy movie.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's so fucking good.
It is. It definitely. If you can stomach it, we highly recommend it. So.
Before moving on, just a little thing on color as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, if you really want to get annoyed with movies and shows, realize how much they use orange and blue as contrasting colors.
Yes.
You will see that it's overused to hell and back, mainly because blue and orange appear in reality more, and they're good contrasting colors. But this movie is smart and actually has green mixed in there to separate the colors.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it gives it a lot more interesting look than just the normal blue-orange.
Yeah. Yeah, the color scheme is very well done.
Also, the mother's house is really pretty.
It is. It's a really good location. Same with the ending set there, or whatever mansion got for the senator.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool location. Like
Governor.
Governor, sorry. Yeah. Great set design, and if they use actual buildings, great choice. Like,
yeah. Oh, and the fucking haunt, like the oddly human moments of Joe, like when he lies down with the assassin and just sings with him.
Yep,
as he passes away.
Yeah, did I already mention that? That was improv by Phoenix.
Yeah, so. You didn't mention that fun fact.
Yep.
But it's just this odd haunting kindness he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, she goes in to hug him to thank him, and then she kisses him, but then as she kissed him, she starts, like, touch him weird or something. He's like, no, not that.
No, I do love that he gets her sodas and water in case she wants it afterwards.
Like, that's just nice. Yeah, there is this oddly, like, even though he's doing all this brutal shit and has clearly mentally snapped, there's this human side to it, and it's what drives him to do this shit, to get revenge on these creepy fucking people.
And it keeps him likable even when he... It, like, even though he's killing bad people, he's still a fucking murderer.
Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, you're still murdering these people for money.
Like, he is a brutal fucking human being.
And they mention this. They're like, people say you're brutal.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's about it.
I think that's about it. So, very solid thriller. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's on Prime.
Yup.
If you don't want to give the Bezos money, NordVPN.
Yes, there you go.
Anyway, so we are still on the director wheel. Wait, what was before this?
Before you were never really here?
Yeah.
The movie you watched before it?
Yeah.
Was the after Back to the Future, right?
Yes. Okay, so this was our first spin.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So yes, we're going to spin again. It's called director wheel because we went by a bunch of movies directors made. What do you want? Anyway, it is time to
spin. What do we get?
We're going back to Satoshi Kon with Paprika.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't have really much sub for this one. This is the most intense of Satoshi Kon's films, surrealist-wise.
Yes, when it comes to just bonker surrealism, this takes the cake.
Damn it, though.
What?
We almost hit the order I say to watch Satoshi Kon movies.
Because
we started with Tokyo Godfathers, which I recommend as the first since it's not too weird.
Yeah, it's still mostly grounded in reality.
Then Perfect Blue, because that one is still surreal, but it's used for horror.
Mm-hmm.
Then, well, I say you're Perfect Blue or Malayam Actress, because those can be surreal, but they are genres people understand. And Paprika is usually last, because that one goes way out.
Mm-hmm.
Paprika inspired Inception, but we'll talk more about that in the next episode. Not next episode, the episode after next episode. Next episode.
So stay tuned. The next movie episode.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that, everybody. Thank you so much, as usual, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
With a lighter film.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cinema Roulette. If you want to interact with the show more, you can follow us on Twitter, at Roulette Cinema. If you wish to follow our hosts, Justin is at JK Pancake on Twitter, and Cameron is at Cameron Picks Inc. on Twitter. If you wish to watch a video version of the podcast, it can be found on the YouTube channel, CamCam. Thanks again to Teller's Place for making the base art for all of our thumbnails. And if you enjoyed the show, please remember to subscribe or rate on whatever podcast app you use.